this morning we have in transportation, we have no bills, but I have invited the DOT to come up here, and Mr. Leon's going to present what we're going to go review, and you can ask the questions. Either Mr. Leon can go through it, or he can take questions as he goes. But he's going to explain to us what happens in the highway system when part of the highway system is turned over to a municipality or a county, and what needs to be done and what rules need to be followed. Okay?
Thank you.
And please, when you come for the secretary, identify yourself and who you represent, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Senator.
If it pleases the chairman, I'm Bill Nevin, legal counsel for DOT, and I'll start off.
That's fine.
You will. Okay. I've got a handout here, Mr. Chairman.
Bill, will you help him?
I think I've got enough there on. As the committee probably knows, by statute, the legislature is charged with the authority to designate the state trunk system. The handout that I've just distributed includes the two statutes relating to the designation of the state trunk highway system, the first one being SDCL 31-4-1. A couple of years ago, this statute was extensively amended, I believe two or three sessions ago, I don't recall specifically, to put into the statute criteria that the legislature is directed to consider in whether or not it makes any additions to the state trunk highway system. It also provides that a segment of the state trunk highway system cannot be removed from the system unless there is an agreement in writing with the local government, either the county or city, to take over that segment of highway that is being removed from the state system. The following statutes in this chapter, that is chapter 31-4, give specific descriptions by routes of the entire state trunk highway system. When you look at the statute, you can see that the primary factors to be considered in designating a road as part of the state trunk system are functionally classified as arterials as approved by the Federal Highway Administration and that provide farm-to-market access, providing service to a state or federal recreational access area, the proximity of other state trunk highways and highways providing duplicating or similar services. Obviously, we don't want two parallel state highways 10 miles apart that serve the same function, the same area, and provide similar service or duplication of service. Another factor to look at is the cost of construction, maintenance, right-of-way, and the extent of needs on the state system, traffic volumes and other traffic survey data, and the desirability of providing an integrated system to serve interstate travel, county seats, and cities of 450 population or greater. The final two factors to be considered by the legislature and whether to designate a road as part of the state trunk system are traffic volumes and other traffic survey data and the desirability. I'm sorry, I guess that's a repeat, isn't it? I've already said those two. So those are the factors that we have, that this body has enacted in statute to address the criteria to be considered in whether or not to designate a segment of highway on the state system. Additionally, as I mentioned earlier, before a segment of the system can be taken off the state system, there needs to be an agreement in writing with the local governing body that's going to assume maintenance and jurisdiction responsibility for that segment. Typically, our department, the Department of Transportation, annually comes before the legislature with what is essentially a cleanup bill. That is, since the preceding session, because of our construction activities, there are commonly two or three changes to the state trunk system that we are requesting simply because we've constructed a bypass, we may have built an alternative route slightly different, or alignment slightly different than what it was before. We may have taken a small section of highway off and transferred jurisdiction over it to the county or the city, those kinds of things that we do. We then come back to the legislature, as we are required to, at the following session, and request them to essentially approve those changes by amending the statutes that designate the specific route to conform to what the new alignment is. This year, for example, we've got a bill concerning two segments of highway that we're asking this body to initially pass on, redesignating part of the state trunk system. One is Highway 79. For those of you that might be familiar with Sturgis, through the town of Sturgis, Highway 79 runs from where it intersects with Highway 34 at Junction Avenue. It follows Junction Avenue up to the interstate, which is, I believe, exit 32. This year, following reconstruction of Junction Avenue, the city of Sturgis is taking over maintenance responsibility and jurisdiction for that. We have an agreement in writing with them to do that. Highway 79 is being rerouted, and really it just involves signing along the interstate. So it will go from exit 30 or 31, whatever it is, to exit 32. The other is we changed the realignment of Highway 34 near Springfield. Formerly, Highway 34 ran through Springfield. With the new alignment constructed, it now runs outside of Springfield, sort of around Springfield. And we're asking in, I believe it's Senate Bill 18, Senate Bill 18, for the legislature to designate those changes in the statute. The other way the state trunk highway system can be changed is the Transportation Commission is given authority to make certain alterations to the state trunk highway. And that's in that second statute on the handout that I distributed, SDCL 31-4-4. And there's a maximum limitation of 5 miles. And again, the Transportation Commission can make changes to reflect for the purposes contained therein, and there's several of them. I won't read the entire statute to you. You can read just as well as I can. But essentially, for segments up to 5 miles an hour, the Transportation Commission can designate the change. Essentially, how that works in practice is we then go out and put up the signs, re-sign it to reflect the new system, and then come back before this body again in the following session, requesting that they change the statutory designation of the route in Title 31-4.
Are there any questions from the committee? I'd like to know, are you going to go through the, within the DOT, you have rules within yourself about turning over any highway system to a municipality. Can you kind of go through that? In other words, the specs of the road that has to be brought up to standard?
Mr. Chairman, Leon will address that, if that's all right.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. And I'll stand by if there are any questions as we go along this morning.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Leon Schockenmeyer. I'm the Director of Planning and Engineering for the Department of Transportation. Your question about what sort of standards or requirements do we have in the department prior to turning over a road to a unit of local jurisdiction, there really are no standards. We've followed a basic rule of thumb, and that is that the road be brought up to the appropriate standards that we negotiate with that unit of local government. And let me explain what I mean there. It would be typical that we would bring a road up to a standard that would take that road through its next 20 years. However, in negotiating the transfer of these roads, it's not uncommon that the city or the county might want something else done on their transportation system. For instance, they would rather have an alternate route improved as opposed to the route that we are transferring. So within the art of negotiation, we work those things out with them. Sometimes there are minor improvements made to the transfer route. Sometimes there are major improvements made. Sometimes there are improvements made to other roads that the local jurisdiction would rather have improved. So It kind of varies, and we negotiate with the unit of local government. It really boils down to what they want. So a specific standard, no, there isn't a specific standard, but we be fair. We have to be fair with them, and the whole process has to culminate in both parties signing an agreement. And they're not going to sign the agreement if there's something there that they don't like. I would also like to point out a couple of other things. I'll pass out as a reminder to you a map of the state highway system, if you would pass those around. And there are a couple of other overall issues here. One is that the state has jurisdiction over 7,839 miles of state highway. There are actually about 83,000 miles of roads within the state of South Dakota. So we have about 9.7% of the mileage in the state, but our 7,839 miles carry 70% of the traffic in the state. So that's something that we always try and remind folks of. There is a third way that I'd like to remind the committee of that does come to us on occasion. Bill indicated to you that there's a legal way that we can transfer roads, and that is through the mutual negotiation and agreement between the department and a unit of local government. There are also, the Transportation Commission can make what we call minor changes in the highway system, where those minor changes affect less than 5 miles of road. And then, of course, the third way is a one-way system, and that is what you folks get exposed to on occasion, and that is when a unit of local government comes to the state legislature and requests that a road that they have jurisdiction over be transferred to the state highway system. And that's something that we typically see every year, or almost every year. We're aware of one of those that may be in front of you this year. That's something that we have concerns about, concerns expressed from the standpoint that we feel that our present highway system is fully, our ability to maintain and improve that highway system is fully taxed. We think that our ability to react to more roads is not what we'd like to see. We would not like to see additions to the highway system. On occasion, and this is rare occasions, the units of local governments will come to us and ask us to take on a highway. And we do, again, get together with them and try and negotiate something like that. But just to make sure you're aware that sometimes these things come through the legislative process also.
Other questions? Senator Staggers.
Well, you perked my curiosity. What road might be presented this session?
There are some folks in Davidson County that would like to revisit an issue that the legislature did not approve last year, and that was the addition of Highway 42 across Davidson County, a length of about 16 miles, and they'd like that placed back on the state highway system. I am, in fact, meeting with the Davidson County Commission tomorrow, and we're trying to work through some issues there and see if there's something that we can take care of and perhaps not bring this to the legislative process.
Senator Dietrich.
I believe we had an opportunity in the House last year to visit that issue, as I recall. My question, Leon, and I'm not sure whether you can answer it or not. I understand that the gas tax revenues are down, and you talked about your ability to maintain the roads. And I know you have a plan that goes out several years. Are we at the point where you're able to still keep up with the plan, or are you having to take some roads off of that plan or delay some action?
Senator Dietrich, the testimony that Secretary Wheeler gave last week in front of the Appropriations, Joint Appropriations Committee, did indicate that our revenues are not quite what we had anticipated them to be. We also indicated in that testimony that our five-year plan is programmed. We anticipate to perform that program based on the existing revenues. However, we are looking at some deferrals. And quite frankly, that's going to be impacted by the long-term viability of those revenues. And again, those are the state motor fuel tax and excise tax are the primary sources. But also, it's going to be impacted by our reauthorization of the federal T21 Transportation Efficiency Act for the 21st century. That act runs out in 2003. We're working on reauthorization at this point in time. And So our five-year program includes 2004 and 2005 at this time, which will be 2 years of the new act. We don't know what money we're getting from the new act, and that could somewhat impact where we go with that. So we have a state revenue issue, but we also probably have more of an issue on the federal side that will impact this.
Senator McCracken.
You said that 7,800 of your highway miles carry what percent of the traffic?
70%.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Staggers.
Yeah, a couple years ago when we started getting all this additional federal money, I remember some testimony to the effect that, you know, we're going to have to go out and get some more civil engineers and so forth. What's the situation with our civil engineers?
We currently have 14 vacancies, engineering vacancies, in the department with civil engineers. That it's starting to concern us. It's a little bit more than we would like to have. Last year, we raised our starting salary substantially. We were quite a bit below what some of the surrounding states were paying, and a lot below what most private industry was paying. And we were fairly successful last May in bringing in a number of engineers. Now those vacancies are starting to climb, and we are concerned. We recruited at five different colleges this year, as we have in the past. And as of last week, we have one applicant that has said that he will start to work for us this coming May. What we don't normally try to, when we get a spike in the funding, and I'll call that a spike in the funding with what we received in 1998 through 2003, we don't normally try and take care of all of that additional work with in-house staff. We've spread our resources. We've brought the private sector into this. And just to give you an example of the increased amount of engineering services that we've hired on the private side, 2 years ago, we spent $1.7 million on consulting engineering services on the private side. This last year, we spent $3.9 million, so we've more than doubled that. So we try and take care of this both through a combination of private sector involvement and some increase in staff. But our staff vacancies are starting to be a concern.
Leon, several years ago, we had some concern about the highway department turning over bridges to municipalities. Has that been corrected? In other words, when you go in and the highway system has a bridge on it, do you tell the municipalities all that's involved in taking over bridges now?
Our policy now is that when there is a bridge involved in a road transfer, Senator Vitter, we give them, first of all of our state bridges have to be inspected every 2 years and some of them every 3 years. We give them the file for the bridge, and that includes all of the inspections, includes our ratings. We look at deficiencies on the bridge. So we give them that file so that they know what they're getting. In some cases, the local government wants us to improve the bridge. Sometimes they take it as is. It all gets involved in what they want. So it's a mixed bag. We've improved bridges. We've not improved bridges. It depends on what that local government wants.
Yeah, I remember there was some talk about that we were going to demand the state to bring the bridge up to standard before they could turn it over to municipalities. Remember that, 97, I think we went through that.
Yeah, that was a discussion item. The problem that I see in doing that is that might limit the local government's ability to negotiate what they want. In other words, if they would rather have road improvements as opposed to a bridge improvement, we could spend all of our money on that bridge and there may not be a substantial benefit there, where in fact there could be a very large benefit to improving the road. So that would, I would think that would tie their hands.
Any further questions? Senator Hagin.
Thank you. This doesn't really pertain to the removal of roads, but the reducing of speed limit. How do we go about reducing the speed limit on Highway 18 that runs through the village of Ogallala?
I might turn this over to Bill. Sure. There is a legal process involved that the Transportation Commission gets involved in, and I think Bill can tell you that.
Bill,
sure. Thank you. Senator Hagin, speed limits on highways are set by administrative rule. The statute sets a general statewide speed limit. However, lower speed limits can be established for roads, certain roads or segments of road by administrative rule. Typically, the way that is done, and it might be local community leaders, local law enforcement, anyone can initiate the process. For example, you mentioned a highway going through Oglala. Someone or a group of people could go to the region engineer for that area and say, look, for safety reasons or whatever, we would like to see a reduced speed limit from this point to this point on Highway 18. The local office or the regional office then sends that information into PIR, and assuming that the Highway Patrol have no problem with it and our region engineer has no problem with it, there is a rule drafted, a proposed rule drafted to enact this limited speed zone on this section of highway that is then processed through the rule promulgation procedure, ultimately going in front of for a public hearing and then adopted by the Transportation Commission. We then go out and put up the signs.
You bet. Any further questions? Gentlemen, thank you for coming up. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yep. Is there any other departments that would like to speak or any lobbyists who are representing any entity would like to speak at this time? If not, we will probably meet on Thursday at 7:55 if we have any bills. If not, you will be notified. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Second? We are adjourned. Okay.